It's time for Mac Break Weekly. Coming up, a look at iOS 7.1. What's new? What's different? What's good? What's bad? We'll also have to decide between watercolors and oil paintings, two new iOS apps, and lots more next on Mac Break Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Mac Break Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Mac Break Weekly, episode 393, recorded March 11th, 2014. My Little Pono. Mac Break Weekly is brought to you by Shutterstock.com, with over 30 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative project to the next level. For 20% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code MACBREAK314. And by LegalZoom. Visit LegalZoom.com to save on your legal needs and gain access to a network of legal plan attorneys for guidance. LegalZoom, not a law firm. LegalZoom provides self-help services at your specific direction. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code MBW to get $10 off at checkout. And by 99designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of more than 280,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/MBW to receive a free power pack upgrade valued at $99. It's time for Mac Break Weekly, the show that covers Apple, Macintosh, OS X, OS 9, OS 7, System 7, iOS 7. There's a lot of 7.
System 7?
7.1.
That was a long time ago. Remember, that was a big change then, from System 6
Remember
to
that?
System 7.
Remember that? Ooh, huge.
Yeah.
That's Alex Lindsay. He remembers a lot. He is, of course, with the Pixel Corps. And now his new endeavor, Rwanda ADMA. The African
Digital Media Academy.
Digital Media Academy. Nice to have you.
Thank you. I'll be there next week. I'll be coming in for Mac Break from Rwanda.
God.
I know.
So
I know.
Tired of having you here.
He just keeps on coming and he smells.
No. It's great to have you. Actually, I've got a lot of questions for you. Mm-hmm. Alex Lindsay, that's Andy Anako over here. You've met him before, yeah?
I have. Yeah. I have met that fellow.
Good looking guy. He's got his Hayward Fire Department hat on.
There you go. Yeah. So. Once you've had your 12th fire, they give you the you get your punch card, and they give you a free hat.
Pair of glasses. And also here, Renee Ritchie from iMore.com, who I quote a lot. I quoted you all week about the Greg Kizer story. You better have been right on that one.
All evidence to the contrary, he was not correct.
Greg Kizer in the computer world reported, and we talked about this last week, that Apple was no longer supporting Snow Leopard with security patches. And thank God you set me straight, Renee, because I did apologize on Twit for getting that wrong, and I gave you credit for the true story.
Thank you.
So thank you. So 7.1 is here. Is it all you hoped it would be? Let's go through a quick run through of features. Some cosmetic improvements. I haven't really looked for a whole bunch of them, but you can turn off the swooping thing in more applications, which is nice, because the motion always, you notice now I don't have so much swooping as I did before. I always turn that off. New thing in Siri, where you press the button to get Siri to talk. Normally you talk and then you stop talking. After you stop talking, it does this search, right?
Wow.
I don't know why it said that. So now you can press invoke Siri and keep holding, and it will continue to listen even if you stop talking. Mm. That's actually nice for people who like to think while they dictate.
I have to do that often.
Or if you're like in a noisy room and a lot of people are yelling and you want it to stop listening.
Right.
Yeah.
I just really, I felt like frequently I felt rushed by Siri.
It's the opposite of always listening from Google.
Yeah, right. Right. Siri only listens while you hold the button down. And now it's going to take all of that as dictation. So that I think that's a nice feature, kind of unexpected. Did you know about that, Renee, from your beta testing with 7.1?
I did. And I like the fact that it's such a contrast from Google's approach. In a perfect world, I'd be able to hold down and say always listen, and it would have that as an option. But I like that, you know, one is always listening and one will only listen when you expressly toggle a physical button and there is no chance of accident.
Yeah, I think that's good.
What else is new? Well, we know more resprings, right? Have you noticed? I haven't seen many or any, actually, since the upgrade.
I haven't had any resprings in a month, in 2 months, maybe.
Oh, you've been using 7.1 for a while. Yeah. It does not push it, at least not yet. So you're going to have to go to your system, general, and then in general, the software update button, and then it will tell you 7.1 is
available. What was really funny is that not only was there no gold master for this, they just dropped the public release right away. But if you had the beta and you went to software update, it would let you update from the beta to the release version, which I don't remember happening previously.
What else?
It's faster. It's a little snappier. I think some of the transitions are faster.
I think they shortened a lot of the transitions. They really shaved off some of the sharp edges of this thing. One of the things I noticed almost immediately is that now when you pull down the search box from the top or pull up the system tray from the bottom, now there's actually sort of a thunk. Visual thunk when it's in place, so that you don't think, oh, do I need to keep scrolling it? Is it only halfway in position?
Ah, you're right. I get a little, yeah, that's good.
They finally gave us list views and calendar. They've supposedly have fixed that problem with Gmail. We will see if that is actually true or not.
I'm a little annoyed they didn't fix my little pet peeve. See, when you pull up the system notification, it darkens the back row, which makes it very hard to know what you're doing with the slider there.
Apparently, accessibility is the word we use for, yeah, we screwed that up, but we'll let you unscrew that if you want manually. So one of the things you can do now is actually change the translucency so that it's almost opaque now. Now you can... There are a lot of different settings like that where petty annoyances that you might have had are now fixed. You can also turn off parallax in certain situations, again, through accessibility. And those are definitely accessibility features, but I think that 9 out of 10 people who use them are going to be, oh, thank God, I always hated that translucency. Yeah, yeah. It's like operating a phone through a shower door, and I never liked that.
where is accessibility?
They also managed to screw up a feature that it's a subtle feature. If you like to type letters with capital letters sometimes, now they've basically made it so that it's impossible to guess whether the shift key is engaged or not.
That was in direct response to me, wasn't it? Let's see. All right,
worse in the beta. They fixed it slightly, but it's still completely impenetrable.
All right, so let's do a little typing. So now when I press the caps lock, well, that's better, isn't it?
No. Well, what do you think is lock? What do you think the caps is on or off?
Well, I never know because it's always uppercase. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
See?
Oh, wait a minute. So that is caps lock. White is caps lock. Gray is white. Not. Oh, crap.
White is capital. Gray is non-capital. Double tap with a tiny line underneath is caps lock.
Oh, yeah. Screw you, Apple. Just screw you.
It used to be so easy to see.
We're done.
You know, it's so easy. Every other operating system does this. If you're in uppercase, show uppercase keys. This is not a typewriter. If you're in lowercase, show lowercase keys. This is not a typewriter.
I was really surprised when I fired that up and saw that because that's not a – if you want to argue about translucency, that's a long 2-day discussion you have at a corporate retreat and there's no right answer. But why did they make something that is so obviously confusing on such a front and center feature? That is so weird.
And again, it is better than it was 2 betas ago. 2 betas ago, it was impossible for anyone to know what state
you
it
couldn't
was
even
now
know.
It's just disturbing.
I think they do this to annoy me. I'm taking this personally.
It used to be blue, worked fine. Nobody had a problem with it.
I had a problem fixing. But now it's worse.
Yes.
Okay.
Waiting for 7.11.
Then somebody who has an office that's shaped like a pyramid said, wait a minute. A blue color is not indicative of the design intent of that schema. You need to stick to this moniker. Like, oh, man.
I just don't understand this.
We actually wrote a how to tell on iMore yesterday. How to tell what state your shift key is in because nobody could tell.
Should not need an article.
I was so embarrassed.
Shouldn't need an article. What else? What else has changed?
There's new telephone screens on not the iPad, but the iPhone. Yeah. The way you answer the phone is now much better. It got rid of those big clunky rectangles, and you now have elegant little circles. And there's a new slide to answer the phone animation that all looks very nice.
They've also added what I must think is a privacy feature. Now, when the phone rings, it doesn't fill the entire screen with the picture of the incoming person. Now it does a little bit more discreetly, so that everybody at the table doesn't know. Oh. So that's not your wife. Why is she holding up this picture that says, I love you, Josh?
She's quite lovely, isn't she? and young.
It also fixes the Touch ID decay. And there's a few people who would render Touch ID useless for on 7.1, but that's the vast majority. For most people now, they no longer have that decaying Touch ID fingerprint issue. It just keeps working, which is a good fix.
Yeah. So all of this you've seen because you've been using the beta.
Yes. And iPhone 4 performance is greatly improved. It's now usable.
Yeah.
Though not back to 6 in a lot of cases. So it's closer.
Yeah, well, I mean, like if you are bottom of the update totem pole, if you were the last supported device, it's always been fairly horrible. Like the iPhone 3G, it took 2 or 3 updates to make that device usable. It took 6 months to get iOS 7.1 out, so it's basically the same time frame. But it's now I put it on mine yesterday, and it's perfectly usable now. It's right. Not an iPhone 5; it's still it's got the processor it had the whole time, but you can actually use it as a phone now, which is nice.
It's awesome to be able to use a phone as a phone.
It was before, like, you could use it before, but you had to practice your Buddhist breathing techniques. You had to take a moment. If you were the dude, you had to abide. But now, most people shouldn't have a problem.
Okay. Awesome.
It is unfortunate that it took 6 months to get, like, the springboard crashes, the Touch ID thing. 6 months to fix that is that's not good. I mean, I don't know if 7.1 should have been out earlier, but things like the springboard crash, like the Touch ID fix, all of those things, I'm sad that it took Apple 6 months to address.
Yeah.
Now, do we think that the South by Southwest concerts had anything to do with the hurried release of 7.1?
Gruber kind of got this wrong because he said that the South by Southwest, iTunes Live concert would require 7.1. It turns out it doesn't.
Right. But it still came out on time.
This is the timeline I always heard for. Like, it was always in early, at least for the last couple of months, it was supposed to be early March.
Why no Gold Master? I guess you don't need one, really, right?
They've done it before. I think there was one. I don't know if it was 6.1 or 5.1, but one of them, they just dumped it without a Gold Master. I always like it because I start my review when the Gold Master comes out, because then I can assume nothing's going to be changing. And then this just lands, so now I'm halfway through my review, and it's not as fun.
That's nice. Yeah, it's exactly the same, right? That's good. Yeah. We like that.
On the other hand, it's nice to see everyone going through the same pain points at the same time and getting that sort of polydiversity of reactions.
Right.
I was surprised that they didn't. I thought that they were going to refine the interface a little bit more than they did. It really, like I said before, really is a case of they decided that if you don't like some of the really big changes in 7, they will let you turn them off through accessibility. For instance, one of my pet peeves is that too often an important button just looks like a piece of text on the screen because they don't want people to use button containers anymore if they can get away with it. But now there's a feature so that you can essentially make these buttons look like hyperlinks by turning on underscores, which is okay. That's one way to go.
Yeah.
You can turn on button shapes too in accessibility. You can go there and there's a button shape. Turn on button outlines or something, and it actually puts the shape of the arrow around the back button again.
Right.
It's not the same as it used to be, but it's...
Parts of the interfaces, right. And there'll be a shaded button, so it looks better. I just think that that's a... Yikes.
There it is.
They are all in on this new design, but I think Andy's right. I think there's things that turning it off actually creates more reliability, more recognizability, and a bunch of things that you really want in an interface. But Apple really believes that this is the future of interface, that they're taking the next step. And this is sort of like a begrudging, okay, you guys are taking longer to address than we thought you would. So we'll let you turn it off. But really, we still want to herd you in this direction because we believe that it's right.
This is very Microsoft's doing the same thing with Windows 8.1. It's like, so look at the general text. Oh, you're too far away to really see it. But the general text, when I turn button shapes on, it puts a little button around it. I might leave that.
And that's Renee's absolutely right. Every time I've talked to somebody at Apple at every single level, it's not a case of, oh, well, we decided to improve things a little bit. It really is. They really do speak with a certain fervor that says that this is the version of iOS we would have done from the very beginning had we known as much about how people interact with phones and tablets then as we do now. So yeah, I mean, if there are things you don't like about iOS 7, deal with it, because they're not taking a step back and they're not going to do a rollback. I was expecting some refinements, because I think with every interface that Apple rolls out, there's always here's our first 20 million users, and we're going to get feedback from those 20 million users. And then they start thinking, okay, that might have been a little bit extreme, but now we're finding out how people are interacting with that. So our first guess, we're going to refine that a little bit. But yeah, it seems to be like, if you're really that adamant about it, we will hide a setting so that you can sort of adjust this if you want. But we really do want translucency. We really do want naked buttons. I think it's paying off, because we are starting to see finally the sort of iOS 7 apps that were this interface was designed for, where it's not just a design language. It really is the philosophy of try to get your app down to the bare bones of what its function is and do not put anything on the screen that doesn't directly relate to that function. So we're seeing a lot of over the past 3 or 4 weeks, I think, I've seen a lot of apps in particular that are, wow, it's not just a facelift of your iOS 6 app. You really did rethink this, like the Comixology app, which was never really a great fit for iOS, I thought. But now that they've redone it for iOS 7, it's a lot cleaner. It's a lot more focused. It's a lot more task-oriented.
If you think of iOS 7, love it or go to accessibility.
Or go to Android.
And incidentally, everybody probably should go to 7.1. If you've already gone 7, you should go 7.1, right?
Absolutely. Yes. The only things that I've been warning people about iOS 6 were the thing about those resprings, which were just annoying as hell. And that was the one big drawback. If you were holding back for any reason, it really is a good idea now to go to 7.1, because even if you are using an iPhone 4, I did manage to get one out of storage. I now have installed it on 2 phones. I've got it on the 5S. I've got it on the 4. I'm keeping an iPhone 5C and iOS 6 just so I can continue to do side by sides and remind myself of what's different. But yeah, I don't think there's any reason not to go to 7.1, no matter what your previous edition is.
Ars Technica has a great article by Andrew Cunningham in which he talks about if you have an iPhone 4, what's going to get better, what can't get better. He says this is as good as it's going to get, but it is noticeably faster, still not as fast as it was under iOS 6. So that might be the people who should think twice before jumping to 7 are probably people using an iPhone 4, right?
Although it's arguable they won't get the security update, it's gonna suck. But you probably want iOS 7 anyway, just for things like the SSL patch and all.
Actually, I think if you've been hanging out for 7 for to move to 7 because of the performance issues, if you have an iPhone 4, this is probably the time to do it.
Yeah.
Not only that, but there's a whole bunch of apps that are if you like, for instance, my Slingbox Sling Player app, I can still use the old version on my old iPad. But if I want the new version that has these really cool new features and a much improved user interface, I will have to upgrade that to iOS 7. So I do think that the benefits of getting new iOS 7 apps are going to be much, much way, way outweigh the speed hit you're going to get off of your iPhone 4.
Also, if you have a Ferrari, you now have CarPlay.
Yeah, I want to talk about CarPlay. We're going to do a whole segment on CarPlay. We'll save that for the next segment. New power off button.
Oh, very exciting.
Ooh, slide. Yeah. Ooh, it's pretty. Yeah.
We're seeing a lot more incidents of this round, like put your finger here because that's the shape of your fingertip sort of stuff.
Whoops. I didn't want that.
It was in production, Leo. That was a production offline.
Oops. It worked, by the way. New HDR photo mode if you have a camera.
I do not think that I'm going to like that. I think
that's beautiful. I think that's something that's long overdue. When I'm testing other cameras, it's a new trend last year that now there's enough CPU performance to just automatically do an HDR without the user noticing it. Why would you not just produce the best photo you can possibly make?
Yeah.
And especially with the iPhone 5S, it's so fast that it just makes no difference. So you may as well do it. There is an option so that you can have it stash away the root images anyway. But I think that most people who are using this feature, they just want that touch one button, get the best photo that is possible to be gotten by a mobile phone in this space at this time. And I think that an auto HDR is just the perfect thing to do.
Hallelujah.
It's 5S only, I think, that feature, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that pretty much covers it. Let's talk about the car. By the way, the new Yahoo logo is also
excellent. Beautiful.
For completely,
I know this is a horrifying. I always think that there no good discussion ever comes when there's the phrase "What would Steve Jobs have done?" But however, I have to think about what if Steve Jobs was still around and Yahoo said, "Oh, here's our new logo. We'd like you to replace all instances of our old logo with this." I bet there would have been some meetings, and I bet it would have meant that hey, guess what? We've rethought our logo. We've refined and improved it.
Steve said no.
and Steve would have been right, or at least whoever Steve sent that logo to inside Apple for comment would have been right.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, our show today brought to you by our good friends at Shutterstock, the best place to go for high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, even video clips, Shutterstock.com. There are now, let me just, I like to go every time I go to Shutterstock and look, over 30 million stock images at Shutterstock.com. 34,620,527. This week alone, they added 238,000 new stock images. These are royalty-free stock images. Don't forget, when you visit Shutterstock.com, at the very top there, there's a footage tab, which will show you video footage as well. And a lot of the footage is really great because it's got alpha channels in it, so we use it to superimpose stuff like cats on Sarah Lane's show. Really a lovely place to get the stuff you need for your website, your publication.
I use these all the time. I use stock photos just all the time.
We use Shutterstock all the time because we have a 25-image-a-day subscription, which is a great deal, by the way.
Right.
And that means in our blog posts and everything, we always use Shutterstock stuff. There are as many as or more than 20,000 new images every day, individually curated for content and quality. They do have image packs, but the subscriptions are great if you're a publication and you do a lot of stuff. And I think the thing that really makes Shutterstock stand out is their search. You can enter nouns like cats, and of course, there you have cats. Cat, kitty, get off of the Shutterstock. He's just floating there.
Get away, kitty.
Kitty. But I can also search for angry cats. So you can add adjectives to your... Now, I encourage you to sign up when you do this because it's free. You don't have to give them a credit card. And when you do have an account, you'll be able to get some free images every week, a free photo and a free vector image, yours for the taking, no watermark or anything. And you can use the light boxes, which is a great way to take images. You don't have to buy them. Just take the images and put them into your light box so that you have them for later use or to share them with friends. Angry cat. Wait a minute. We shouldn't leave you with that. How about happy cats? Let's see what happy cats. Hi, I'm a happy cat, not a grumpy cat. I'm a happy cat. You can see that when you search through Shutterstock, you get great inspiration for ideas. It's like a lubrication for your brain. Also, a great iPad app, Webby Award-winning iPad app, which contains, great shared light boxes and things. This is an example. Some of these are examples that are just beautiful.
I used to try to do a lot of these myself, because I used to do illustrations.
Yeah, you're a Photoshop
else,
guy, and you think, oh, I could drew my own illustration of the cuts of beef.
And then I did the math. I was like my hourly,
sure,
or even someone that works at the company, and how long it's going to take them, and then how it's, and that it'll be done sometime next week instead of right now.
You know what I like about this is it looks like it's chalk on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they have them that are not. You can have any, and this is a vector image, by the way, which means you could scale it completely. This would be so great for a restaurant, maybe print it big on the wall. Here's the deal. Go to Shutterstock.com, create your free account, start playing with the light boxes. When you decide to purchase either an image package or a subscription, you'll get 20% off when you use our offer code MacBreak314. MacBreak314. Shutterstock.com. Great for magazines. If you need...
Cat's gonna eat Leo.
Giant cat. You see the Shutterstock watermark. We can actually buy those. You don't have to steal them. What? That cat can really go places. That is a giant cat. Brian loves the cats. Oh, the cats love the keys. Careful, Andy. He's gonna attack you. So that is the biggest feature in some ways is, as you mentioned, Renee Ritchie, CarPlay. Except that, does anybody have CarPlay?
My Ferrari review unit hasn't arrived yet.
Yeah. Where's my Ferrari review unit?
Yeah, we should really get to review that. Just for the
CarPlay.
Not for the, horsepower.
I guess if I go to the Apple site, they have some images of...
The amazing thing is the diversity of control that Apple's allowed. I mean, I don't want to say unprecedented, but they're letting this run on no touch screens with knobs and buttons, on resistive touch screens. So if you don't take off your matching Ferrari leather gloves, you can still use it. On capacitive touch screens with Siri, without Siri.
Also, we're looking at when this feature was first announced last year. I was talking to different car makers or people I know that work for different car companies, and that this really is a very, very egalitarian sort of feature. We're used to seeing a keynote announcement, and now for cars costing as little as $68,000, we're offering native iPod support. No, I mean they're even like budget Fords that will integrate this way.
They're not specifying. I noticed, for instance, you can have, you know, buttons. You can have touch. They're not specifying. How are they determining what the form factor is?
It looks like they're being really, really open about it. Flexible. Which might be a reflection of the car industry.
And all of this is running on the RIM software, right? So, I mean, almost all these.
QNX. Don't call it the RIM software because it implies that BlackBerry really had anything to do with it. They bought QNX.
But they still own it. They have a future somewhere.
They own it.
Dodge's company. They're amazing. And it looks like the current implementations of CarPlay are running on top of QNX, but theoretically you can run on top of embedded Android, embedded Linux, embedded Microsoft if they make the deals. But QNX was the fastest way. It's very similar to Apple TV in that it's a form of AirPlay, but it's bidirectional. But there's no Apple TV box, so there has to be some layer that handles the receipt. And because there's no separate box, it has to be built into the infotainment system. And QNX is an incredibly mature car technology.
Exactly.
And they've been very fast at deploying the hooks that system needs to communicate.
My car already has QNX. I would be very interested if there were a way to upgrade it to do CarPlay.
Mercedes
is going to offer an upgrade. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, and do we think that all the graphic interfaces that have been being built for these cars are slowly just going to go away and just be Android and iOS, hooks?
I don't think so, because I think the need in a car is very different from the need on a device you're holding in your hand.
Well,
for one thing, the issue of distracted driving is huge.
Well, I understand, but I just think that as an owner of a lot of cars, I mean, I have a car with a big screen on it, and I just want this. There,
yeah,
but what I mean by that is the map. I want to use. I don't care if it's Apple Maps or Google Maps.
Well, it is Apple Maps, and that's if there's one negative point, you're using Apple Maps. Now, I think Apple Maps are fine today, but I don't know if the world thinks that.
It's different though, Leo, because a lot of people who have like BMWs, Mercedes, their only option are out-of-date maps that they then have to go pay $200 and get an SD card and load it up and go and update it.
Right.
Whereas these are going to be updated as often as Apple updates the back end on your iPhone.
I mean, I just think
so. It's getting it from the iPhone.
Yeah.
But also, you're talking about one of the most popular consumer products that are out there. This is you talk about the reach of the smartphone market, and you realize exactly how small it is compared to the population at large. How many people out there actually have cars? That's almost 100%. That is a very, very much higher percentage. And now you're reaching people who absolutely do not care about any interface or any feature that can't be operated by pushing a labeled button and pushing it into the on position, and not then having to go to iMore to get a video to figure out whether the air conditioning is on or off, but actually see that, okay, this is a red light that says that the air conditioning is on.
But
designing the interior of a car, it really is user interface design playing at expert level. Nobody at Apple, I think, has ever played the game at that level, only because you just have to. It's just such a simple thing without any. Nobody cares about the design. All they care about is that this thing does what it's supposed to do. The way that it thinks, the person thinks it's going to have to happen.
I guess for me, I think for a car company trying to shave a percentage point here and there of sales, I do think that this integration, I mean, I know that for me, when I buy my next car, one of my top three, if not my number one thing, is how are my phones going to integrate with the car? Like, that's
I
care about.
The other issue is
I don't care about the gas mileage. I don't care about
that's another really fine point here. That there, I have a Mac. There's almost 100% certainty that the next time I need a computer, it's going to be a Mac. I have almost 100% brand loyalty. Even with the phones, I have nearly 100% brand loyalty. It's really hard to shift me. Cars, most people, here's the amount of money that I have. It has to fit three kids. It has to be able to occasionally transport a surfboard. And there are 9 cars that fit that function. I will buy any make that is highly recommended. So when you get people who are really kind of equally balanced between 3 or 4 different models, if this one has a really intimate connection to my phone that other one does not, that's a big, big, important get for that car.
On the other hand, if I, as an Android user, I'm left out in the cold because you have to have a 5, 5S or a 5C.
That's not entirely true. It's like 3 models for this. So one is you just get in the car and you use the built-in QNX system, which can understand your Android phone and just gives you whatever the default experience is. That's one of the reasons why CarPlay exists, because Apple's not going to make the complete stack for a car entertainment system because, A, the car companies wouldn't let it be exclusive to iPhone.
Right.
And, B, Apple would never make it work with Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone.
Ah.
So
All so there's a fallback. The question is, how good will the fallback be?
Well, that's the thing. Is CarPlay is Apple's way of connecting to your car, and there's nothing to stop Google from making Android's way or Microsoft to make Windows Phone's way. It's just Apple's good at pushing this kind of thing to market.
They've got all the manufacturers. Ferrari, Honda, Hyundai, Mercedes-Benz, and Volvo will do it this year on 2014 models, and then pretty much everybody, including Ford, Chevy, Land Rover, BMW, Nissan, Mitsubishi, will do it in years to come.
Well, and this model works great for the car companies because it means that they're basically Switzerland. I mean, they don't.
Yeah. They have another advantage, which is they're getting an A7 chip, whereas cars are just the computers in the cars aren't very powerful.
If you think about it from the car maker's point of view, they used to use iPod Connect, and you would connect your iPod cable to the USB, and that was powered by QNX subsystems as well. Right. So for them, this is just the next generation of a tip of Apple's car integration that they've been servicing for years.
Puts more of the interface on the screen. It also gives them, for companies that don't have voice activation, instant Siri, which is a big deal, I think. I mean, I think that users want to talk to their system.
Well, and I think that there's a lot of opportunities. Once you start tying these together, there's a lot of opportunities for the geeks, so to speak, to get a lot more out of their car. Like, for instance, I mean, in that interaction, I mean, it depends on what the car companies want to provide you. But you go to CES, you'll see these car companies' interfaces that tell you all about your engine and everything else. There's no reason why that eventually couldn't be exposed.
They don't like to do that because they like to make a very bright dividing line between the entertainment system and the systems that control the wheels. So the real fear is hacking and so forth. So very often these telematics systems are completely separated from one another because
you can get accessories that let you tie into your car.
Yeah, you can. In fact, I've been meaning to do that to get the connector, but putting it on your screen, that might be something they don't. I'm not sure they want.
Not only that, but somewhere in my inbox there's a press release for just a simple like Siri Bluetooth button that does nothing more than engage Siri. You put it whatever you want. Oh. And so long as your phone is already connected to your Bluetooth system, it'll pick up the speakers, and you got pretty much whatever you want. Yeah. It's a really good. I'm glad to see this kind of outreach and problem solving because, of course, there are people who don't have center console entertainment systems. I'm a proud owner of a high mileage car because, again, high mileage and it's running perfectly great. Let's keep with it. But it's nice to have ways to integrate new technology into older fleet vehicles like that.
I was thinking about it today, listening to some of the distraction, because they're talking about banning Google Glass in some states so that people aren't distracted driving. I realized part of what Google, I think, was thinking about when they thought about the driverless cars is, people will get distracted, and then they won't need to look at it at all.
They want them to be distracted.
It's like you'll be distracted, and then you'll just have a driver, the car will drive for you, and you can go back to being distracted. It doesn't really matter.
One thing I found interesting was Seth Weintraub from 9to5 Mac pointed out that he would much rather have, if you have a Toyota, you'd love to have iOS in the car now, but if you have a Tesla with that 17-inch screen, you probably don't want to overwrite that with iOS in the car because there's nowhere near feature parity yet.
Well, and for instance, I have in my car, I have Google Earth on the maps. I see satellite. I have Street View. I press a button. I can see the Street View of where I'm going. I don't want to lose that. So it is a good thing. I mean, A, you can't require people to have an iPhone. That just doesn't make any sense. So you've got to have a fallback. I would love to see car makers be a little more platform agnostic and say whatever you bring in the car, we're going to interface well with
it. Android in the car was announced at CES. I'm sure that's coming.
Yeah, Audi's doing that.
That's definitely an interesting topic because what constitutes a sophisticated operating system and a sophisticated user interface for inside the car? If you look at the way that a dashboard has been set up so that every device that requires user management while they're driving, it is a big stiff button with really good clear labels on it, and it's as close to the steering wheel as possible, but not so close away that its view might be obstructed by the ring of the wheel itself. It's possible that a user interface for a car is such a different set of requirements to deliver the most amount of features with the minimal amount of attention that it really is that even iOS in the car is not going to be adequate. We're going to need somebody who creates something that is just you remember the user interface of the Starfleet, the U.S. Enterprise computer when there is a crisis, it clears every single screen of any useful information and just tells you red alert. Say, well, why don't you tell me what the red alert is? Nope, red alert. Maybe that's sort of like going to be the aesthetic of a good car interface where it doesn't try to give you even more than three buttons at one time. It simply tries to tell you, hi, this is your map. It's not. I'm not even going to tell you things that you don't care about, as opposed to here is your car. Here is where you need to go next. And go to hell if you want anything else from me.
I got to tell you, there's such a gulf between what cars do today. They are the worst interfaces. There's not one car that has a, maybe the Tesla, that I don't know. But it seems to me a 17-inch screen is not a good idea in your car. But that's...
It's good in the sense that you replace a whole bunch of really redundant dials and gauges with one panel.
Right.
So it really, the top half of it is going to be your map, but your bottom half is going to be whatever type of driving you're doing right now. Here's the one where you touch the button for climate controls. If you're pulled over, here are more in-depth controls. Every time I take a look at new cars, I look at the center console interface, and I think this is absolutely not in any way an improvement. I mean, it's much, much worse than simply the phone that I have inside a really nice dock on my old car. Why would I? It would be a downgrade to trade in my very, very stable, high mileage car for something brand new with a crappy, crappy center console computer.
It made me think of the iOS 6 version of what CarPlay would have looked like. The interesting thing about the distracted driving element, though, is I remember back in high school, my friends would always, you know, be fussing with the tape deck or the radio knobs and not looking where they were driving. I commuted to work for about 10 years, and people would read newspapers or novels on their steering wheel.
Have you ever been to
argue with people?
Have you ever been to Cabin Brazil?
Put on makeup.
Cabin Brazil has a little DVD player. They're like, you know, I'm kidding. They got little DVD players.
Cabin Brazil, what's that?
A cab.
Oh, a cab in Brazil.
You get a cab in Brazil, and they're like watching DVDs while they're driving.
Oh, that's encouraging.
Yeah, there's a lot of traffic. I mean, there's a lot of time in Brazil that you're not really going anywhere. So,
jeez. All right. Finally, Apple credits the Evaders Jailbreak team with thank you, jailbreakers, for helping us find the problems in 7.0 so that we could fix them in 7.1. Robo I-99, as well as corporate security specialists from Google and FireEye, have been credited for finding vulnerabilities. In 7.1, Apple fixed security issues with, get ready for the list, backup, certificate trust, configuration, profiles, core capture, crash reporting, DYLD, FaceTime, image, IO, IOKit, HID, event, iTunes store, kernel, office viewer. These are all security issues. Photos, backend, profiles, Safari settings, Springboard lock screen, the telephony, UI framework, USB host, video driver, and WebKit. So Apple has fixed everything. There are no more bugs. You can safely use your iPhone. Thank you very much. And by the way, you can't jailbreak 7.1 because they fixed all the holes that they used to jailbreak it. Let's take a break. Come back with more. There's lots more Mac news, including was it a win for Apple in court? They didn't get a permanent ban of Samsung products anyway. We'll find out if it was a win, a loss, or a tie. Whither the A8 and Shaquille O'Neal, his budget for apps might amaze you. It approaches mine. But first, a word from LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm. No, don't you think that. It's better than a law firm. LegalZoom provides self-help services at your specific direction so you can, in affordable ways, get the things done you need to. If you're starting a business, this is, you know, March is National Start Your Business Month. If you're starting a business, you ought to do what I did. I asked Kevin Rose. I wanted to start Twit, this thing called Twit.
It's crazy.
And I asked Kevin, you know, what do I, because he'd start a lot of companies. He was doing Dig. This was in 2005. He said, well, you got to get the LLC. He pointed me to LegalZoom.com, $99. I didn't need a white shoe law firm, just $99. Or Chapter S or Chapter C, also $99. I did trademark the Twit logo and the Twit name. That was $169. We're still running on the operating agreement that we got in 2005.
Really?
Yeah, I haven't. Even though we now do have a white shoe law firm, he wears white shoes to meetings. It drives me crazy. He looks like Elvis. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, a very good law.
You should ask him to sing.
He said, "How you doing? How's that lawsuit going?" If you haven't got a will, you need a will. Your last will and testament, personalized legal documents specific to your state. And if it does come up, for instance, you know, one of the questions I had was LLC, Chapter S, which what is the difference? You can get help from an attorney. They've pre-negotiated flat rates with attorneys in your state. You could choose the attorney based on not only their profile, but unedited reviews from LegalZoom users. Find out why more than 1 million entrepreneurs, just pick one of those, and I'm sure it'll work for you. Find out why more than 1 million entrepreneurs use LegalZoom to start down the path of successful business ownership. 1 million! Right now, take advantage of their National Start Your Business Month special. You'll get a 3-month trial of the all-new QuickBooks absolutely free. This is what we use for our bookkeeping, making it so much easier to run your new business. That's $119 value free when you enter MBW in the referral box at checkout. You'll also get $10 off. LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom provides self-help services and can connect you with the right attorney. But remember, they're not a law firm. They're better. Don't put off the things you need to do. Visit LegalZoom.com now. Use the discount code MBW. You'll get the 3-month trial of QuickBooks and $10 off at checkout. LegalZoom.com. I love this because they really empower companies. They empower people to start their own business. Are you an LLC or are you a corp? What are you?
C-Corp.
C-Corp. We're actually now thinking about maybe should we be an LLC? Should we be a C-Corp?
I think for me it was really, I have to admit it, I don't know if it was the best business decision, but for me it's all double tax and all this other stuff. But for me mentally, I just really had to feel like the company was separate for me. I didn't want to feel like it was attached to me. I liked feeling like it's an entity and I'm an entity.
Because the way an LLC works mentally, it's passed through taxation. It's all, right. it's your tax return, which is a little scary.
Yeah, for me, I just decided I'd rather. And I guess when we started early, they were like, well, eventually you're going to scale to a point where you just want to be a C Corp. And so
we're kind of looking at that.
I just figured I'd just start
there. It's expensive, though.
It is. Ooh. It was. Oof.
When your tax bill gets into 7 figures, that's when you really start feeling like. Yikes. Moving along, what else happened in the world of Apple? What is the story with the Samsung thing? We had actually a good interview with Florian Mueller of Foss Patents this morning on TNT. I encourage you to watch it because this guy knows everything. Apple wanted to ban 23 Samsung smartphones and tablets. The judge said, it's an awful lot. So I guess you could say they lost the latest round with Samsung.
But $290 million down the drain.
That's the jury award, and Judge Koh at the same time upheld that award. Samsung said, it should be more like, I don't know, $52 million.
$3.50.
So it's a total now of $1.05 billion, an additional $930 million.
That's still really cheap for all the R&D Samsung got out of it.
So it was the original judgment was $1.05 billion. They have to pay $930 million. So they got deal.
And to put it in perspective, I mean that sounds like a really big number, but Apple spends a lot more with Samsung on the chip production for iPhones than that judgment.
So Apple could appeal this decision, but Mueller pointed out that if they do, that opens it all up again, and Samsung could appeal everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it might be that Apple will just say, okay, win some, you lose some.
Apple has so much money that I think they're getting to label what Samsung did as copying them and point to the fact that Samsung got legally reprimanded for it is worth a lot more than a couple more billion in there.
That's all they really
enormous cash box.
Yeah. Hey, let me ask you about this, Rene Ritchie, because you're an expert on rumors and so forth. Apple... in the recent beta of OS 10 Mavericks, 10.9.3, the next one out, according to 9to5 Mac, there is now support for external Retina displays, that pixel double resolution that they do on MacBook Pros with Retina. Is that what you're seeing as well?
So, and this is where it's so hard for me, and maybe you guys can give me some advice, because as soon as the beta launched, we have a machine running three 4K displays, and we tested it. But we didn't publish anything because it's NDA software. But then, all these publications, Anantech did a deep dive on it, and Anantech, it's pretty mainstream now. They go to Apple events.
Right.
I don't know what we're allowed to say and what we're not allowed to say anymore. But all the reports so far have been incredibly accurate given, what we've tested.
So that's tricky, isn't it? Because you're required under NDA not to say anything.
I haven't downloaded this version. We've had people download it and test it out. So I'm kind of NDA by like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
I don't blame you for being confused by this because it gives the bat, you know, you're outspoken, Andy, on people should not violate their NDAs.
Not because I think that Apple needs to be defended from bullies, but that if you know, if you read an agreement and you agreed to do something, you should do that thing that you agreed to do.
Right.
And you shouldn't pretend that you can't do your job unless you're a member of the developer program, or you can't do your job unless you're reporting on something that you're under NDA for. Because again, that's when I agree to an NDA to get an advanced look at something so I can get something out there early, it's also a personal thing because I'm always, I know that I can publish at Wednesday at 9 p.m. So I'll have my copy ready like Wednesday afternoon to file. But somewhere in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, oh, if there's a way I can finish this and have it in my editor's hands Tuesday morning, because somebody is going to just, maybe somebody's going to decide to get a jump on everybody else and be first to get their piece out. But again, it really is if someone asked you a question saying that I will give you this information if you promise me you're not going to tell anybody until X date, and you say you can trust me, I won't tell a darn soul. That means okay, that was pretty explicit. That was pretty easy to agree to. Just do what you said you would do. That's all.
And I know some sites get around it by just linking to the people who break the NDA, but then you're giving attention to them anyway, and your site is sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudging it.
Yeah,
and yet
I'm sorry, just to put a cap on it, I don't see why anybody thinks that that's in their best interest, because you will get ahead on people on this one time, but again, unless you if you think that you can do service to your readers by occasionally getting stuff under NDA, then you'll be doing that service to your readers. You will have a relationship that you can then that will then pay off in the future. But if you burn this person who trusted you, not only are you cutting yourself off from future information that will be of use to your readers, but also realize that there's probably somebody at that company who have the choice of putting your name on this list or not putting your name on this list. And now they have this person has to tell their boss, yeah, you know that person that I told it, I assisted it to you that we could all trust? Yeah, we couldn't trust him. Sorry about that, boss. That's what really gets me.
Yeah, but then, I feel like I don't have enough. I have my obligation is not to Apple. My obligation is to my audience. But the way I solve that is by not doing NDAs. And that one time I did in the last 10 years, I deeply regretted it.
That's exactly correct. You have to simply make that choice. But the idea that I'm going to get the information but not do what I agreed to do is just not an option that's available to
anybody. Yeah, because you're violating your word. I mean, it's simply a matter of honor.
In this case, Peter Cullen did write it up for us. He did not download it. He's not under NDA for 10.9.3. He just did it based on the information going around in the context of Apple's 4K plans moving forward. But it looks like Apple will be doing what we all expected them to do, which is to treat 4K displays sort of like Retina displays and do the scaling thing so that they look, from what I've heard, they look fairly spectacular now.
And I would, I mean, look, I don't sign NDAs. I think that we have the right to know this NDA information. We have a need to know this because it's a consumer value. If you're considering buying a 4K display, to know ahead of time that Apple is, you know, is going to be doing this is very valuable. This is consumer information. So I think I would defend the right of the press to dig as deep as they possibly can into this stuff. And if somebody breaks their NDA and reports something, I'm going to repeat it. Because I think there's a right to know. There's an important right to know on the part of the user.
The only downside then is if Apple doesn't ship it, people get disappointed because they know that it has been there.
So you have to say, and I think we were pretty good about this, hey, look, this is in the code. This doesn't mean they're going to do it. I don't report on Apple patents for that reason because patents, who knows what that means.
I like to start rumors myself.
You're bad, man. You're
the patents are usually what Apple's not doing, and they put out 300 of them so they can hide what they are doing.
Yeah, exactly. But I think when you go and you do in 10.9.3, you put in code that does pixel doubling on 4K displays, that sounds like pretty clearly that's how Apple's going to handle 4K displays. It makes sense.
Right.
Yeah,
does it imply that Apple might be working on 4K displays? Not necessarily, right?
It does help the 4K displays that are already out there, right? So it does that more effectively.
And the 60 hertz apparently is also much welcome.
Well, and the 60 hertz requires the Thunderbolt 2 connectors, connections. Yep. And I still think that the thing that I'm interested in is to see if, as a hobby, of course, they that Apple thinks of just putting the Apple TV into the monitor so that you could watch TV, you know, when you're not using your computer.
Yeah.
it got front row out. See, I would love Apple TV built into a large size Mac, like a 27-inch iMac. Why not just build the Apple TV software into all of those things? My MacBook Pro should have it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. It'd be a great way to see how people interact, you know, with the TV.
Along those lines, I got a call yesterday from the from Apple's what did he call himself? Apple's executive brand offices. I got scared.
He's in trouble again.
It scared me. I thought, oh crap, what have I done? And then it was simply, we just want to make sure that Mac Pro thing has been figured out, and you got your RAM and all of that stuff. So
nice. Somebody's listening.
I don't want to talk to anybody in Cupertino ever. I just feel like they're going to spank me.
A lot of them are very nice people.
They were very nice.
They care about you. They care about
you. Well, you know, this is the other thing I resent a little bit. It wasn't until they figured out it was me that they cared.
There's a picture of you now. There's you know, like in presidents in other countries, there's a picture of Leo now on all the tech support. This is Leo Laporte.
Yeah, it wasn't until somebody called and said, oh, and I'm a big fan of yours, that I started getting nice treatment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Before that, it was bring it back to the store. We'll see if it's really broken, and then maybe we'll order a part, and you might get it in a month or two. And then all of a sudden, here's the part. You know, so I resent that a little bit. I prefer to go under the radar.
But obviously, Apple does not use Radeon 6. So that's the...
What's that?
So you can always tell companies that use Radeon 6. So United, FedEx, a couple other companies use Radeon 6. And what Radeon 6 does is it allows people in your organization to know when you're tweeting anything else, they can see it. They also understand like how prominent you are. They know everything about you when you call. So when you call, they put your name in and they know exactly who you are. They know that you have X number of followers. They know and it ranks you based on it's kind of like a clout score, except it's not clout. It's, you know, it's their
like
own
how many
little
Twitter
magic
users you have.
Yeah, and so followers. But a lot of these companies are using a lot of these tools to know an enormous amount. You know, this gets into that whole data, you know, where it's coming is that you call
that from their point of view, but I wish they would treat everybody as if they had a 500,000 Twitter followers.
Well, no, but I think that a lot of times it's not just that you have a lot of Twitter followers. It's also knowing a lot about just what you need. I mean, you know,
Well, that's good. I don't mind that.
That's what a lot of companies are trying to do. I mean, it's trying to take care of everyone. But
executive relations is a guy from corporate executive relations called me. And he said, and from now on, do me a favor. If you have any trouble, just call me.
Right.
They don't want me to tweet.
Yeah. They don't want you to tweet. They don't want you to talk about it on MacBreak.
Whatever you do, don't talk about it on MacBreak.
If they decided they didn't like you, maybe they would have just called and hung up.
That's why I keep finding poop on my doorstep.
Yeah, replacement module right here. And, you got your ear close to the phone? Okay, now this is me smashing it with a little hammer instead of giving it to you, Leo.
Oh, we know you, Leo Laporte.
It just bugs me. I just feel like they should just, you know. Anyway.
I don't know. I mean,
I bought a module. And I just want to – I'm going to give you both – the official Apple. The only difference between the Apple module and the one I bought from Otherworld Computing is the Apple one is painted black on the side.
Oh,
so I'm going to give you the Mac Pro again now.
Yep.
But on one condition, you could do all the stuff you want to do with it.
Yep.
But would you just look at the difference between the Otherworld Computing module and the Apple module, see if there's any difference in speed and stuff?
Yep. Will do.
Because as far as I could tell, it reported ECC, it reported the same. It just wasn't painted black on the back.
Keith will get right to it.
Yeah. All right, I'll bring it.
He's much more techie than I am.
And I'm superstitious, so I'm using the Apple module, not the $75 module I bought. Because the Apple module is $200, so I think it's better.
Tim Cook will just stare at your Mac Pro, Leo.
Silently. eating an energy bar.
Why does Nick
needs a monocle. If he had a monocle and he Tim ate Cook an energy bar.
For the folks, we need to see a Photoshop of Tim Cook with a monocle before the end of the show. There's your challenge. There's your Mac Break challenge.
He needs I don't blame Apple. Everybody does it, and some of them use this tool you're talking about. Everybody does it, and it's sad.
It's the future.
But I can get great customer service from anybody. I just tweet my problem.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden they go, oh, my God, he has 500,000 followers. This might mean something. Why don't you treat everybody that way? That's ridiculous.
More followers in many of the companies that you're going to be tweeting about.
Oh, my God. And you know, I know that 3/4 of those followers are spam bots.
Bless them.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, spam bots.
I think obviously.
You're giving me clout.
I think a lot of people work pretty hard at treating everyone pretty well. But it would be crazy for a company to know who someone is and not. you know, sort it out. You know, put it on.
What's that called? Radian 6?
Radian 6.
It's from Salesforce.
It is.
Also, also, you know, you can't discount the fact that some of the people who work for these companies are actual humans. And I'll give you a personal example. One of my favorite web cartoonists, Danielle Corsetto, mentioned that, hey, I'm going to be in Boston. I'm going to be doing a research trip. And I'm such a big fan. Of course, I direct message her and say, yeah, I live in the Boston area. If you would like me to photograph anything or research anything, Ms. Corsetto, be great to, you know, to be, you know, help you out because I'm a big fan of the strip. I mentioned I'm a fan of the strip. I've been following you since the black and white days before you went to digital, you know. So I don't know. There's always the possibility that someone said, "Oh, well, geez, this person whose work I like has a problem that I can solve very, very quickly and very, very efficiently. Certainly, much easier than they can solve it themselves. I would enjoy engaging that small amount of time and effort to solving this person's problem."
Yeah,
I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm saying that.
No, yeah. We're human beings. You know, we like who we like. People who have friends always get better treatment, right?
Well, I mean, you know,
and Ellen DeGeneres is always going to get a nicer phone from Samsung than I am.
She's going to get it. That's because she gets a lot more retweets.
And she's going to still use her iPhone backstage at the Oscars.
I'll tell you what, Leo. If you can get like 4 Oscar winners and 7 Oscar nominees inside the studio to take a picture with you, I'm sure whatever phone you want from every manufacturer will be there.
Especially if they know it's coming.
I know. The iPhone C, John Brownlee writing in Cult of Mac. RIP iPhone 5C, you're a flop. The detail from analytics platform Mixpanel shows that the growth of the 5C is stagnant at about 6%, as it has been since Christmas, even though the 5S has achieved a 20% share of the phone market, overtaking the iPhone 4 and 4S. Let's get the close-up of this. The purple, the bottom one, is the oldest iPhones. The next one up, the teal, is the 5C. That's pathetic. The 5S, the yellow, you see it's taking over. The iPhone 4 is dipping now below the line. I need somebody to do play-by-play here. The purple, the blue one, I don't know what that is. Then there's this one. What is this one? That's the
iPhone 5.
Yeah,
Can we do it aside? Yeah, the 4S and the 5 are still
saying, okay, here's the
a lot of data.
Green line, but then there's the greenish blue line.
No, the green wire with the red thread, the red wire with the green thread.
The point being that really the iPhone 5C is just not taken off if you look at it. Now, I'm not sure how they're measuring it. They say this report was generated from 201 billion records. I don't know what that means even. But that's how this company does it. So really, I guess with that many samples, this is pretty accurate. Measurement. It's about what you think. So does Apple kill the 5C? I guess they do. And the rumors are they're not going to do a plastic-backed phone again.
It was cool. I think they just really they didn't go far enough in one direction or the other. And I think they just got caught in between. I think that's the issue.
I like the 5C. I have a 5C. Cool. And I think it's really great. But it is, you know, it's just a 5. And I think that people who buy Apple products more than normal people want the latest, greatest.
Well, and I think they also made some compelling, you know, enough compelling stuff in the 5S that people were like, well, I really, you know, once you get close to that price, if it was
only $100, yeah.
I think if the 5C was $200 less, mm-hmm. I think you probably would have seen a much larger, mm-hmm. but of course, Apple would have given up a lot more margin too. But I think that, at $100 difference and you look between the C and the S, you're like, well, I'll spend an extra $100 for them.
The job of the iPhone 5C was typically Apple reduces the price of the previous year's iPhone by $100 and that becomes a second tier model. The job of the iPhone 5C wasn't to sell billions. It wasn't to be a summer blockbuster. It was to be the iPhone 5 in a way that was easier and cheaper for Apple to manufacture. Right. So the only question is, did it sell better than an iPhone 5 would have sold in that slot against the iPhone 5S? And was it cheaper for Apple to make so they made more money off it than if they had just dropped the iPhone 5? Mm-hmm. And the answer to both those questions might be yes. It could be that the iPhone 5S would have just blown the iPhone 5 out of the water, too, and the iPhone 5 had more manufacturing difficulty than the 5C did.
I really like the 5C. It's cute. It's cuddly.
It's nice, and I actually see them out and about by people who really do just they go into the store. They are able to buy pretty much any phone they want, and they want the one that has the really cool pink back to it.
Yeah.
And Marie is absolutely right. Too many people look at, well, how much, what's your percent of market share? Oh, well, geez, it's not increasing and it's not taking share. That must be a complete flop. They're going to get rid of it. There's so many different reasons why a company puts a product on the market. And sometimes it really is just to hold that space in the product line until a bigger plan emerges in a year or two. So I don't think it's necessarily a gimme that the 5C is going to be canceled.
I look at my daughter who wanted a 5C because she liked the color back. She got it for Christmas. She broke it. Gave her my 5S. She says, oh, this is a really nice phone. And she says, you can keep the 5C.
5S is a great phone.
Which do you look think, at that. Who do you think looks better in a monocle, me or Tim Cook?
Well played.
What's interesting is I'd like to see figures, for example, the Galaxy S Mini or the HTC One Mini to see how the second tier, because it looks like Apple gets a lot of this attention regardless of the market.
I didn't mean to wake you.
Yeah, and it's also possible. You keep in mind that Apple is probably going to be coming out with a real large screen phone later this year. It's possible that the 5C's role is to maintain that slot as the compact sized iPhone. It's hard to see a major manufacturer that doesn't make both a big screen and a small screen version of the same phone. Samsung makes 9 versions of each phone. Sony has different versions of the Xperia. HTC has different sizes of the HTC One. So I would not be surprised to learn that the long range game plan has always been that this is going to be the 5C is going to be the phone that maintains the beachhead of the iPhone as a tiny, sure, pocketable phone that will be very, very approachable to people with smaller hands, such as, I don't know, women.
I think Truckee nailed it, and we're going to wrap it up with his thought. Arnold Schwarzenegger would not buy a 5C. Gorgeous George would.
I told the 5C to get the hell out of here.
Well, I don't like Gorgeous it. George banging the house, banging one of the maids, and having it.
iTunes Radio passes Spotify now. Number 3 in streaming music. Pandora's number 1 with a massive 31% market share. Then iHeartRadio, 9%. iTunes Radio, 8%, Spotify, 6%, Google, 3%, Rhapsody, 2%, Slacker,
2%. When it says streaming, is this just the radio service, or is this the actual usage?
Because half of those don't exist outside.
This is the U.S.
But I mean, like with Spotify, I never use the radio.
Streaming music. So that means it could be radio. So for instance, Google Play, they have a radio, but you can also stream any song. Spotify has a radio, but you can also stream any song.
Because I use the playlist in Spotify all the time, and I'm just
Pandora.
I'm just wondering
is
if that's
just Pandora. You know, it's just streaming radio. But I think that all iHeartRadio is radio stations plus Pandora style radio music. But iTunes, obviously, you could stream songs. It's a subscription service, so they're lumping them all in. This is percent of Americans age 12 and over who listened in the last month. Edison Research.
I have to admit, I don't get the radio thing at all because I keep on skipping, and then I have to. With Pandora, I would keep on skipping. Like no.
You don't skip six times on a station, and then. But can you skip?
That's why I just went to Spotify.
Amount of times
just,
on
Spotify,
iTunes?
I just listen to whatever I want.
Yeah, same with iTunes.
I didn't even. I haven't. I just saw same radio. I saw the radio part, and I was like, okay.
No,
that's
what because
I'm
Pandora
in.
Is different. You know, your iTunes, Spotify, Google, you're paying a subscription service for their entire library.
Right.
So you can build a playlist.
Yeah, I like the playlist.
And that's what a radio station is, just a automatically built playlist, basically.
Keep in mind that iTunes Radio is the only one of these services that comes built into a hugely popular phone.
I think that's going to help a lot.
Pandora and Spotify are sometimes come with certain models, but I think that's skewing the results a little bit.
Yeah. Who does a better job, if you guys have an opinion, of predictive radio play? So the way Pandora works, you give it an artist, and then it makes a station saying, well, if you like that artist, you're going to like all these guys. So does iHeartRadio, so does iTunes, so does Google. Who does the best of those?
I don't like any of them.
I think Pandora, I got to give it to them.
They own that space.
Yeah, I mean, the number of times that I've encountered an app, starting off with a favorite song and then 4 songs in, having to actually walk back to the phone to mark that one because I want to buy that one later on. It's such a high hit rate that I kind of have to not use Pandora as much as I would like.
Apple TV 6.1 update. You can finally hide you could always hide channels in parental controls, but now it's a little bit easier. They needed that. That's the wrong story. They needed that because there were a lot of channels. It was going all the way down.
A lot of channels
page.
That no one's using.
Yeah, a lot of below the fold channels. So now there is an arrange menu items. This update came out yesterday. You can easily add it. to arrange or hide a selected item in the main. I like arrange because I can put all the stuff I like on the top.
Right.
Everything else below the fold, I don't have to hide it. It's the jiggle mode. So you press and hold select until the item jiggles, then press the directional buttons to move it. And then, or you can sort, right? Is that what ABC means?
I think the arrange has been there before. I think it's the hide that's new.
Arrange has always been there?
Well, there's been jiggly mode and being able to move them around
really?
For a while.
Oh, I never saw that.
I remember it from a couple generations ago.
I'm learning.
Wrong, but I distinctly remember it.
I'm learning.
But the hide is new and very welcome.
Asshole. Now I'm going to get another call from the executives. Asshole Apple has also updated the remote app for iOS. What?
I don't think you have to worry about NDAs anymore. That's all I'm saying. Leo, that's
no longer an issue. Huh? There is an update to the remote.
They updated almost everything yesterday. Well,
4.2. That was the app that they didn't update for like 2 years. It was like guy who wrote it was reassigned.
Yeah. I have to say that the if you're a parent, you definitely need the remote for your Apple TV because it does not show your code when you're entering it.
Ooh.
I have to change my code like now that my son has turned 6, I have to change the code like once
a
week.
So he watches dad enter it and then steals your password?
He does.
Son of a
he's
gun.
A little he's very
a little devil dog.
Precocious. But he here's the worst part is he acts like he's not looking. Like there's this whole process. It took me a little while to realize he was ordering stuff.
Wow.
That's epic.
Have you shown him that scene from the early fact one of Casino where De Niro catches the casino cheat and introduces him to the circular saw? That might have an impact.
I haven't shown him that. I was thinking of showing it to him, and then I thought that my wife might kill me. So
she
I
might actually do it.
You okay, know. Kid, I'll make you a deal. You can either have the Simpsons donuts or your fingers. You can't have both. Which is it going to be?
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, this is huge because they've now added the ability in the remote app, which they really never really took advantage of the fact that they have a screen and everything. Now you can actually browse movies you've purchased. You can look at what you've got. I think
Here's all I want out of my. I mean, maybe I'm missing something, but in my iPad, I just when I go to my movies, I just want to know which ones are on the iPad. Is there some sort method other than looking for the little cloud?
No.
Well, I see a device.
It is the most insanely frustrated.
You can't, Alex. You can put it in airplane devices. Mode, and it'll only show you the ones that are on device.
Oh, it's just so like if you're gonna do an update, like. I just want to know which ones are there. I have a lot of movies that I bought on against Andy's recommendation that I own on my iOS apps, and so I open it up and there's just all these movies, and I have to like scroll through like which ones did I actually download on the flight.
Yeah, you put it in airplane mode, it'll just show you the ones that are downloaded.
So even if you have not lost your remote for your Apple TV, which is
oh no, you still use it.
Easy to lose.
I use it all the time. What's even funnier is I have the same operating. I have the same wireless in my, you know, in my back office. Then, so I can change the
and play That's stuff. Clever. For, aren't you clever?
You know, take over.
I find it very easy to misplace that tiny remote. So having it on your phone and your iPad is a very handy thing.
Yes.
Let's see. I just accidentally
I take all the old computer ones and I give them to my kids. That's the one that like floats around because the metal one.
Oh, the old plastic ones? Yeah, I don't like them.
But let them use the plastic ones. Because eventually you find like three of them stuffed in the in the couch.
Yeah. Macworld says, we shall see from their lips to Satya Nadella's ears that Microsoft will release a new version of Microsoft Office for the Mac this year. The last one's 3 years old. Office 20, Mac 2011, you can use it, and I do use it this way as part of an Office 365 subscription. So I pay $10 a month. I get 5 installs. Any of them could be Mac or Windows.
I don't use it anymore.
That's handy. Microsoft folded its Mac business unit into its business software unit in 2010 and then shut down the Mac office. So there's nothing's been going on. But apparently at CeBIT, Thorsten Hubschen, which is the German office boss,
said
there are
office.
New development teams for each of the office applications, which each produce versions of their product for different platforms. So I guess the Word group produces Word for Windows, Mac OS, iOS, and Android. We do believe there will be iPad versions soon as well.
Just quick enough not to be relevant anymore.
They did close the office for Mac Blog on Monday. That's kind of a bad sign. Hoopshin says there'll be more news in the second quarter of this year. That's beginning next month. He said Microsoft's already talking to large customers about the new Mac package behind closed doors. So they must be working. In fact, a representative from Microsoft did confirm that they're developing it. But what does that mean? They've been developing it for years, I'm sure. The team is hard at work, they say, on the next version of Office for the Mac. While I don't have details to share on timing, when it's available, Office 365 subscribers will automatically get the next Office for Mac at no additional cost. That's a good thing.
Coco, what's that?
Are they still carbon?
I think 2011 was carbon, wasn't it?
Oh, of course it was. You know, I confess that I install it because, I mean, it's Excel. Numbers is not as good as Excel.
It depends on what you're doing.
Depending if you really want to do number crunching.
If you really want
to,
like,
if you want a beautiful.
We have to think about how many people are really doing number crunching.
If you're doing those folks, table seating charts, numbers is the best. If you want to do pivot tables on last year's quarterly projections.
Absolutely. I agree with you. It's just that I think that most people don't do that. And so they use Excel, which is a horrid little beast. You know, and numbers is this beautiful thing that you can customize. Gorgeous. You can move your sheets around. You can have multiple tables. You can reorganize them. You can make them look pretty. You can, I mean, like, I hand off numbers documents that are doing some pretty complicated calculations to clients, and they're like, how did you do this in Excel? I'm like, oh, I did not do that in Excel. You can't.
Even the online version
can't
is
do
nice.
That. Yeah, and so, I don't know. I don't understand. I mean, if I can't open it in Pages or in Google Docs, I'm not interested. It's just those are the two that we use at this point. Oh, by the way, I want to thank Web1750 and a couple other folks that were in the IRC. In the settings under in videos, you can turn off show all videos. I stand corrected in my little complaint.
Oh.
And then all those extra videos disappear.
All right, I got another complaint, and I don't know if this is true. Lisa was telling me about this. Her son likes to watch YouTube videos on his iPhone in the car for hours and has used up all the data on her family plan, 8 gigabytes a month.
Well played.
Halfway through, did you get one already for this month?
No.
It's only the 10th. It renews on the 5th, so you've got a few more days. Okay. So apparently, if I understood this, and we did this while I was walking, so I don't know if I was getting all the blood to my brain properly. But I don't have an iPad, so it's not going to work. Maybe you could do this.
So
you can set a passcode so that they can't change the cell phone settings, so that you could turn off data. She wants to turn off data on the cell phone and not have.
You want to turn it off to YouTube.
Just turn off cell phone data.
Ah.
So he can watch YouTube when he's at home. That's fine because it's on Wi-Fi. But she wants to turn off cellular data after a certain point.
I don't think cell data is a passcode protected setting.
Well, it says if you look, there's a passcode. You know, don't change phones the data settings.
Let's try.
And then it asks for a passcode, a new passcode. She gave it one, and she could still turn data back on. So there's no way to do that. I don't have an iPhone in front of me, so I can't.
Trying.
I can't show you. Just an assignment for the chat room. While we're working on that, let's get you mad. John Chen, CEO of BlackBerry, says iPhone users are wall huggers.
Who?
You know, there's a pretty obscure
who is this like guy.
There's a pretty obscure reference there. Like I didn't quite understand. Like when he said it, I was like, what is he talking about?
I thought it was like tree hugger, but what he means is you don't have enough juice to last a day, so you got to hug the wall.
I will say I would happily pay $100 more for my iPhone for it to be twice as thick and last for 2 days.
How about this? How much would you pay now? An alarm clock that wafts bacon odors from your
stupid
iPhone. Oscar Mayer.
What is wrong with these people?
It's the Oscar Mayer bacon alarm clock / publicity stunt. Wake up and smell the bacon. It's an iPhone app you can download for free, but you have to buy the small device that plugs into the headphone jack of your iPhone.
Can you really? Has someone actually ordered this? I think this is all a hoax.
The app will show a video of cooking bacon and then spew vaporized bacon scent into the air.
Can you actually
while
order
a soothing
one?
Voice talks about the wonders of the meaty product.
But where's the hardware here? I think this is one
it's
giant,
free. What do you care?
I think it's one giant publicity stunt.
It's a great
because
publicity
it is
stunt.
The, craziest, most stupid thing I have ever heard.
That's a great publicity stunt. Tap to snooze. When you snooze, though, there's a little bug. The bacon odor does not go away.
It's all in your mind. There is no hardware.
Look at that. Don't you smell it right now?
If there's any app where you don't want your kid coming in and changing your settings on you, because I don't want to wake up to something other than bacon. That would be, I'd wake the hell up, but that would be a
bad thing. Could be torture for vegetarians. I've got to get out of bed. All I can smell is bacon.
Leo, I experimented with the settings, and what it does is lock out the use cellular data for and then the list of apps. So you have.
So you have to do it by app by app. So yeah, there you go, Lisa. So you could disable cellular data for YouTube, which you should do. There, that does it. Thank you, Renee Ritchie, to the rescue. You get
just
the
press buttons till it worked.
I'm going to send you a vegan alarm clock.
Thank you.
How much does Shaquille O'Neal spend? Would you like to take a guess? This is from the prestigious Wall Street Journal. Oh, you can't guess because it's right there on the screen. $1,000 a week. On apps, apparently.
He's the whale.
He got the money.
His Twitter account was the very first account verified by Twitter. He was a pre-IPO investor in Google. And according to the Wall Street Journal, in his constant search to find the next cool thing in technology, he installs $1,000 worth of apps. He's particularly interested in deer hunting games. Deer hunting? Maybe yes. Those are in-app purchases.
$100 in-app deer hunter purchase.
Yeah. Let's see. Here he is. Good Lord. Either she's very small or he is actually is a giant. Holy cow. Can you get my audio there? Or is that not? Let me.
Google, one of the first verified users of Twitter. Seems like every few years, you get a little bit more and more.
Why do they put the music in there?
I've always been a techie.
How does the music help?
I'm not a
I don't know.
You know what that music says to me? We know you don't care about this at all, so we're going to play a soundtrack to
make it really
interested.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. At least you'll dance.
Also, it also makes it hard for someone else to put their own audio.
Last week I bought like 20 deer.
Oh, maybe that's it.
I like hunting the deer on my phone.
I like hunting the deer on my phone.
Loves the smell of IP in the morning.
It doesn't work nearly as well. I'm just letting you know the phone is not going to
strangest, newest apps that you have on your phone, or what are you using your day-to-day life?
Is he wearing blue jeans?
Social media, you know, my breakdown has always been the same. 60% to make you laugh. Because laughing relieves stress.
Well, there's lots to make you laugh on the iPhone. That means he has deer hunting and fart apps.
You're going to laugh at it. 30% to inspire you. Maybe a quote that could lift your day. Or,
do you think he rebalances his apps every few weeks just to make sure he's got 60-30?
The last 10%, I'm selling you stuff. I'm selling you Fitbit. I'm selling you Soda Chat. I'm selling you Icy Hot. I'm trying to sell you Buick.
I'm selling you Icy Hot?
That's how I break how I use social media. You know, for me, it's not always about bragging. Look, I just bought a car. Car cost $2.2 million. I'm the first one with it. I've never done that. So,
and I just did it.
One of the reasons why I was the first verified account on Twitter.
All right, I've had enough.
I don't do that either, but for very different reasons.
So, just so you know, 10% of all Shaquille O'Neal's tweets are to sell you stuff.
There you go.
Just so you know,
Icy Hot.
Icy Hot. Do you think he uses Icy Hot? I tried it once. It burns. Maybe is where I put it.
There's definitely freezes places not burns. To put Icy Hot.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, your picks of the week, gentlemen, are you prepared?
Oh, I'm ready.
Yeah, prepared.
By the way, Twitter's back, and they've changed the interface again.
Oh, that's why it was down.
That's why it was down.
So we have a new Twitter.
It's no longer connections. It's now notifications.
Yes.
Everything world is new again. That's why we can't have nice websites.
I don't like change. I think we've established that. Ladies and gentlemen, our show today brought to you by 99 Designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. They connect businesses, creative entrepreneurs like you, with their community of over 280,000 graphic designers. That's a lot of graphic designers. Whether you're looking for a new logo or responsive website, stationery, or t-shirt, can we have our 99 Designs hoodie out here? There's a designer at 99designs.com that will bring your idea to life. Wouldn't it be awesome if you could start your next design project right now and just instantly have dozens of designers just go, here's an idea, here's an idea, here's an idea. Selection, speed, creativity, just a few benefits of having multiple designers work on your design projects. When you launch it, they call it a contest. When you launch a design contest, You'll get plenty of creative ideas. How many, Glenn, did we get on our hoodie? 20? 40 or 50? We liked them so much, we actually bought five. Here's the hoodie that we designed. What is the name of the designer on this? Do you know? Let's find out his name so we or her name we can get ready. But this is our hoodie. We're selling at teespring.com/twit, teespring.com/twit. It's got the logo on that. Isn't that great? Nice. And we got like four more t-shirt designs out of that thing. We're gonna have I really like the steampunk one.
Yeah,
that's gonna be something. 99. The process is fast, fun, and 100% satisfaction guaranteed. Start your next graphic design project as low as $199. How much dollars? How much did we pay for that?
We paid $299.
$299 because we're generous.
Yeah.
Oh.
Our advertising kit.
Our marketing kit, our media kit. You know, the one we send out. Somebody said, "Boy, that looks bad and dated." So we went to 99 Designs. We got a great new design, and our new PowerPoint presentation. It's awesome. 99designs.com. Now, you get a special deal. If you go to 99designs.com/MBW, you'll get a $99 power pack of services free. The power pack gives you more designer time and attention. They'll bold, highlight, and feature your design project in their marketplace. That means you're going to get twice as many designs. 99designs.com/MBW to get that $99 power pack of savings absolutely free. 99designs.com. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the portion of the show where we pick crap. Stuff, I mean. And we're going to start off. We always end with you, Andy, but this time I'm going to let you begin the party.
This is, unfortunately, you caught me trying to switch displays.
I don't have to if you want. If you want a little more time.
If you give me a little more time.
All right, let's go to Renee Ritchie. He's always ready.
So I just pick easily demonstrable things.
That's right.
So I'm using my slot to give a shout out to Macworld iWorld, which is going to take place on March 27th of this month. Okay. Anyway, it is going to be in San Francisco, California, at the Moscone Center. Ever since Apple pulled out, they have done a great job in making it more less about Apple and more about the Apple community. And they have a show floor filled with developers and accessory manufacturers that you can go and visit and buy stuff with. And a lot of them have really great deals. Or if you have a problem with a certain app, you can go and talk to the person who actually made it and give them your feedback. They also have a bunch of courses, of sessions. I'm going to be doing two this year. I'm doing one on iCloud and exactly what it is and how to get the most out of it. And I'm going to do a second one on the contextual awakening, which is how we're using sensors and location and iBeacons and sort of not intelligence, but more of awareness in our new products and all the new technologies that those are going to unlock. And then there's all sorts of events, like there's concerts and there's parties. It's just a great place. It's the Mac and Apple and iOS community made manifest on Earth for a couple days every year. And again, outside of Apple's shadow, you have all these little flowers that are finally blooming. And it is a great show. I enjoy going every year. I've gone for 5 years, I think now, which is a baby compared to a lot of people, I realize. But I'm still having a blast every year. And you can check it out at macworldiworld.com. They still have tickets available.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And in fact, we're trying to decide how we should cover this. It's not a big trade show anymore. It's really all about the community.
I should mention that I'm going to kick it off with Jason Snell, Christina Warren, and Ben Baharin on Thursday morning at 10 o'clock on the main stage.
Can we stream that?
Of the Apple.
Can we stream
that? I
think
they might be.
Probably stream it, huh? Yeah, that would be well worth watching. I mean, those are all of the best people. Is Ben Baharin Tim's brother?
Son. Yes.
Wow.
They're both fantastic. Ben has, there's financial analysts for whom I have very little time. And then there's industry analysts, people like Ben, Benedict Evans, Ben Thompson. They're all named Ben, strangely. Ben Baharin. And they are fantastic because they can explain why these things really matter and what the numbers mean. Because so often we get numbers and we're told what they mean and they actually mean something completely opposite.
All righty. Macworld, iWorld. The Expo, March 27th, 28th, and 29th. That's a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Moscone North in San Francisco. Renee will be there. I will be there. We will all be there. But definitely get there 10 a.m. on Thursday for the State of Apple Technology. That's going to be a great panel. You got Mashable, iMore, Macworld. That's going to be a great panel.
Yeah, it's an honor to be part of it.
Alex Lindsay, your pick of the week, my friend.
So I have been doing some shooting of photographs. we're doing a class right now. I'm teaching a class right now in Rwanda on integration of real scenes and computer graphics and everything else. I teach them from here, but we're shooting them here but teaching the class there. And the software that I keep on coming back to when I want to do the stitching and you really want a lot of control is a program called PT GUI. And
Patugui.
Patugui. Patugui.
Patugui.
Sounds like part of the Matrix. Anyway, so but PT GUI, and what it does is it's really kind of the what a lot of people come back to stitch HDRs and panoramas and so on and so forth, where you have a lot of control. It's a little geekier than your average stitching software, but you can really put together a lot of. You can see sometimes it doesn't have to be a panorama. It can also just be a series of photos that might be very high resolution, you want to stitch them all together seamlessly.
Yeah,
and it's just really a great no nonsense tool to get that done. So it's there you can see, and I bet you can zoom in pretty far into that. It's my guess. As you can see, a lot of these, sometimes we think of shooting these with really, really wide angles. A lot of times I even shoot them with, 8mm lenses. But when you have control in Photoshop, I think Reverb Mike mentioned Photoshop. In Photoshop, you can definitely do some stitching, but I find that you have a lot more control if you're really getting serious about it with PT GUI. So you can see that there's potentially a lot of images there. You can, I think he has a list. Yeah, this one's an 76,500 by 11,289. That's a, it's a
so
big photo.
Is this a command line?
No, this has a GUI. So that
it says GUI, but I mean, like, why do they say GUI?
Well, it started off as...
It used to be a command line.
It used to be command line. Okay, so it used to be very geeky.
Yeah.
And so this is the...
I think I used it then.
This is the kinder, gentler version of the command line. And
better
still
job
a lot
than Photoshop.
Well, I think that for quick and easy stuff, I think Photoshop is, I would not get into this unless you really want to start really getting serious about it. But Photoshop does a great job on its own if you're just doing a couple panoramas. But when you start getting really serious and you're doing HDRs and you're trying to, build these seamlessly, I think that this is still the app to...
the app of choice.
The app to use. So
anyway, GUI.
PT GUI.
And how much?
I think that it is, I have the, I don't know, the company version, which has got a bunch of copies. I gotta remember what the single version is. It's in euros.
I'm pretty sure I bought
this. The pro version is, 149
Ooh,
euros.
Ooh, it's pricey.
The personal license is 79 euros.
Okay. That's like 140.
$100 or 110 bucks. Is that right? Anyway, so,
awesome.
So it's not super expensive. Definitely for what it does. If you're doing it for your job. If you're doing it for fun, I'd probably stick with, if you're not serious about it, I'd probably stick with Photoshop, if you have Photoshop. But it's a lot cheaper than Photoshop if this is all you're going to do.
Yeah. Mr. Andy Nako, are you ready now?
I am ready now. My pick is a really cool iOS app called Waterlog, Waterlogue. It's made by Tin Rocket. And it's... there are a lot of. I'm not a fan of like photo filter effects that take a really good picture and make it look like crap for Instagram. And so you oftentimes see like this is a watercolor effect where what it does is it screws up the image, it makes it blurry and look streaky and screws up the colors. What Waterlog does though is completely different. It takes a photo and it really tries to interpret it in a watercolor form. So it's not a filter. What it does is it looks for the shapes and the items that are inside that image, and then uses perceptive watercolor techniques. It uses the techniques that a watercolor artist would use, in which you start with the lights, then you move up to the darks. But after you move on from like this light color to the dark color, the light color is still wet and it's still on the paper, so it's seeping a little bit more. And when you put more ink on that, so let me show you. It's really easy to use. I'm afraid I can't get this. I have the wrong cable, unfortunately, but I can probably. Kind of monkey my way around it. You either take a picture with your iPad or iPhone, or you just select something from the gallery, and that's the original. You can see what it's doing there. It starts off by pulling out outlines, and that really starts to build the image again, color by color. and you wind up with a really convincing watercolor sort of image. And then it doesn't have a whole lot of manual controls. You can ask for different interpretations of it. So, for instance, if you want more lines and if you want it to be more like white gaps in it, there's a different way to interpret it. And as you see, it doesn't simply, you know, it doesn't simply apply an image filter. It has to repaint it with these new instructions. And boy, I intended to just knock out a quick review of this Sunday night, but it was like having, remember the first time you owned a reciprocating saw and you cut and you do the job that you bought it for, and then you real think, what else can I cut with this? Because it was fun cutting with this tool. And the next thing you know that you have to buy a new sofa because your old sofa is in pieces. So I really did find myself going through like every halfway decent photo I'd ever taken to see what it could do to that image. And to be sure, it doesn't do a great job with everything because it uses a wet-on-wet technique. I find that sometimes you wind up with sort of an uncanny valley sort of effect, because it's too accurate to be something that a human has done, but it's yet kind of watercolor-ish, so it looks kind of weird. But if you give it the right source image, man, it just produces such beautiful effects. So good that there's some of these that I really now actually kind of want to print in large size and just hang and just hang on my wall there. It works great if you have an image that is really high contrast, like this one, where there's a clear, nothing happened in the background, not a whole lot of detail. I did try to give it a picture of a squirrel with lots of different fur, lots of different texture, and it just kind of looked like, oh, there's kind of a grayish blob in the middle that could be a squirrel.
I love that one, though. That dog is great.
Yeah, I mean, awesome. So it's only $2.99, and man, you just will have so much fun handing it picture after picture to process just to see what it does with it. And one out of every three is so good that let's tweet that out, or let's save that in high definition so I can print that and do something else that's cool with it. It really does. And it's, so I'm hopefully finishing that review today, because it's expanded to like 1500 words as I found myself having a debate with myself on the nature of art and what to say to somebody who says, no, that's not a real painting because you used an iOS app to process it. And then saying, well, okay, what if there's something that took 30 seconds to do, but it's brilliant, and other thing that took 10 hours to do, but it was terrible. Does the 10 hours work? And anyway, it's a great, great app. You really have to see it to appreciate it.
What's it called again?
It's called Waterlog, Waterlogue. And you can find it at waterlogapp.com. It's made by Tin Rocket. Again, $3. You'll get more fun out of this than you get out of most games that you spend $3 for.
See, we showed on on iPad Today yesterday, a similar program called Brushstroke. And I want to compare the two. This is a picture I did of you in Brushstroke. And I think, you can't tell because it's not, I got to get it closer to you. But it looks like Van Gogh painted you. And we got to compare the two.
Yeah.
I like Waterlog better, frankly.
It's hard to compare because Waterlog is the only such app that I've seen that really doesn't simply say, I'm going to do like a Photoshop filter on this. It really is, what happens if you put wet paint on a piece of wet paper and then you put more color onto it while the paper is still wet,
right,
and the colors start to interact and bleed with each other. I just have never seen an image that's kind of like that. It's interesting, though. I do have a watercolor artist took one of the photos that I shot a few years ago while I was reviewing a Nikon camera and said, gee, that's a really cool like image. Would you mind if I like base a watercolor painting off of that?
Right.
And so I was able to compare my photo to what this app would do with it versus what a real watercolor artist would do with it. And really the signature difference is that the artist does know that that's an apple on the table, that's a chair in the background, I want to call attention to this, not that. Whereas the watercolor app doesn't know that there's a human figure in there, doesn't know that there's a table behind them, doesn't know that there's a tree. It just sees things that are in focus, things that are not in focus, shapes that are light, shapes that are dark. But the effects are just really terrific.
I'm going to tweet my picture of you from Brushstroke. And you tell, I love the idea of turning into an oil painting.
And it's not even, I should say, my belief, it's not even that I think that it should look exactly like a watercolor. It's okay if it looks like a really pretty image that was generated from a computer.
But it's
interesting that it's possible to write an app like Waterlog that gives you the exact same, the same effect that you're expecting to see.
Not a good look right there. I think Andy's came out better. All right, Waterlog. They're the same price, Waterlog or Brushstroke. You pick. I think I like Waterlog. It's a different idea because it puts watercolor. So you could have oil versus watercolor, maybe.
Oil and water don't mix, man. Don't even try.
So the last 10 minutes have been very, very bad for me.
It's cost me $7. I now have Waterlog and Brushstroke.
That's nothing. I just spent $1,800. Why? Well, there's two things. It wasn't on apps. I spend more on this than that than Shaquille. First of all, Neil Young has been talking about Pono for some time.
Oh, yeah.
This is the idea that the music that we listen to on our iPods or iPhones is low-quality AAC, highly compressed. He said music, you know, is often recorded now at much higher bit rates. He's wanted to make a Pono player for some time. And unfortunately, I guess he wasn't able to raise the money. It's been much delayed. So he has gone to Kickstarter to raise $800,000. He's raised $284,000 so far. And I just had to support it because I love the idea of a player. We'll save that for the video from it for later. Of a player that plays back the music, not highly compressed, but at the high quality it was recorded in. And we're not talking, 100. What is CD quality? 44.1 kilohertz.
Yeah,
samples.
Not very.
This is.
Well, 40.
CD is 44.1 kilohertz, 16-bit. Pono is 192 kilohertz, 24-bit. So,
I don't think these are the same. Those are the same measurements.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, we're not talking about compressed. No, I thought you were talking about
the MP3. We're not talking
about
MP3, which is even worse. We're talking about uncompressed. Pono uses
so
FLAC.
So Pono does 192, 24.
It takes them from the masters, because when they record digital files in the studio, they're recording at that higher quality.
He says you can hear the difference. You can definitely hear the difference.
It's uncompressed. Now, admittedly, you're going to have a hell of a lot of storage. I got the Pono player in Chrome signed by... who did I get it by? Neil Young? You can get it Beck. You can get it Pearl Jam, Patti Smith, Tom Petty, Willie Nelson. I got it signed by Neil Young because it's his idea, and I'm a Neil Young fan. He's a Canadian, Renee. You should like him, too.
Absolutely.
That's pretty. Is that Waterlog?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so watercolor versus oil. I'd get both.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's your daughter?
Yeah, it's my daughter. That's her first time in the
that's beautiful.
Convertible. She was
very excited.
You can't
really tell. Would you tweet that?
Yeah, I'll tweet it.
So that people can see the original. Anyway, I hope this goes through. I'm sure it will. I've already raised so much in just like a few hours. There's been a lot of interest in this. Admittedly, form factor sucks. It's a triangle. I hope it has enough storage. I don't know what it says in terms of the storage. $400 for $300 or $400 for the first edition. If you want the signed edition, it's $400. And it comes preloaded with the artist's top two favorite albums. So you got Willie Nelson, Tom Petty, Patti Smith, Pearl Jam, Beck, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, Dave Matthews, Foo Fighters, Herbie Hancock, Nora Jones, Lenny Kravitz. You see Arcade Fire, a lot of artists. And now for $5,000, you get a VIP dinner and listening party with Neil Young. If I had the money, but see, unfortunately, I just spent a lot of money on this. It just came out. Finally, I've been waiting for it. The little big disc. This is Thunderbolt 2.
Did it come out?
Yep. Dual SSDs. We speculate on how much that could cost for a terabyte. $1,299.
Turns out a lot.
Turns out
it's
quite
very
a bit.
Fast.
But it could have been more. Dual Thunderbolt 2 ports for daisy chaining. It's
should
got
be on the homepage, Leo. It could have been more.
It could have been more. Could have been more. It's so cute.
That's the marketing.
It could have cost more. But no. And the idea is it's probably scary RAID zero, right, of dual SSDs.
Is it dual SSD?
Yeah, I think so. It uses software RAID for performance and data security. Right. Yeah, right.
What could
What could possibly go wrong? Performance RAID 0 or you could do RAID 1.
Right, and it won't be quite as fast, but it'll be...
But it'll be more redundant.
More redundant.
And half the storage. Or JBOD, which is just capacity, right?
Yep.
See and use each drive independently. So it's nice that they give you the choice. And it is full Thunderbolt 2, which is 20 gigs per second, 20 gigabits per second. So I will give you a benchmark. I bought it. Not, I didn't buy it for me.
You bought it for me.
You. No, not for you, for you, the audience. We'll give you a review as soon as it comes in. But it's finally out. I've been waiting for this for a while, the Thunderbolt 2, a little bit of disc. Anything else I can spend money on?
So many things.
Exactly.
I'm stopping now. I'm excited about Pono. I've really been waiting for this. You want to get really good headphones or pump it into a really good system.
Really good.
But
yeah,
the
really
idea
good
of getting
headphones.
Better quality like,
once you start
CD
going down
quality,
this path, yeah, you're not going to be able to use your little earbuds.
No. This isn't an earbud.
Like it's not.
You need the $1,000 headphones to go with.
Mm. I really want to listen to this. I don't know how much I would be able to appreciate that higher definition.
Especially me. I'm 57 years old. I have no hearing left at all. But. Mm. I just feel like I want to support the idea that kids today don't really listen to music anymore, right? They listen to this crap, compressed stuff. This is uncompressed FLAC, and it could be even high. It plays actually as high resolution as the available master is, which means as well as high quality as 192 kilohertz and 24-bit.
The next step up is live.
I just wonder how badly they could mess that up. By saying that, well, if we're going to let master quality studio recordings out into the public, we are going to make it so hard to move that data from one place to another. I'm really curious to see how that works. I'm not skeptical. I'm saying that my mind is filled with all the problems that have to be solved by the time you start listening to this really, really honey sweet music inside your head.
Or the selection will be very limited.
It has two jacks, a stereo mini plug for headphones.
There is a Foo Fighter edition, so I'm on board with that.
I know. You love the Foos. It also has a second jack that's designed for your home audio in your car with Sonos Connect, which I really like that idea.
Yep.
We'll see. Again, I'm the guinea pig, so you don't have to be.
You tell us, Leo.
I'll tell you. You can get, for $200, you can get the Early Bird Special. That's a pretty good price.
That's sold out, isn't it?
All gone.
Yeah. Mm. But list price is supposedly $500. You can still get it for
$400 or $300, actually.
$300 is available. Yeah. See, the other thing that caught my attention is that every single piece of press information that's been released on this says that, oh, well, it's 128 gigs and that'll store over 1,000 albums. Really?
Not really.
At super duper high quality? Yeah.
Well, let's see. The super duper high quality, at the best quality, and by the way, it's only what the master did, so it depends what the master was. But that's 9,216 kilobits per second. So what's that calculate out to? How many megabytes?
I'm not sure my head has that much bandwidth.
That's why the hardware is going to be expensive. That's a lot of bandwidth. It's big. Oh, I'm excited. I'm hopeful. You know, they say October. Yeah. So
you can really hear it. Where you can really hear it, by the way, if you're listening, to Metallica, you're not. Mostly going to hear it, but in some areas. But
do
where
not
it's,
knock.
No.
James Hetfield, Lars, whatever his name is, Ulrich. I've forgotten
that,
it.
The heavy stuff.
Kirk it's, Hammett, the amazing
will, okay,
guitar
I
stylings.
I take it all back. Okay. So anyway, so where it's in songs where there's a lot of subtlety is where you really can hear it. So if you hear, especially the ends of songs, but also in strings. In things that are changing very subtly, you'll hear the bits when you want to
have an open sound that fills the space. I believe there is a difference.
Now you know you're going to have to get some really good headphones.
I have really good headphones.
Really,
but
good
I might
headphones.
Have to get some really good headphones.
You got to start thinking like $1,500 to $2,000 headphones to take full advantage of this. I'm just saying.
You got to have the full pipe, Leo.
Yeah, once you go down this
I'm
path.
I'm going to listen on my stereo.
This is kind of the perfect Kickstarter project, where if you put it out in retail stores, it would just flop immediately. But the way to find the 1,000 people who really will support this, like Leo, That's what Kickstarter is for. I'm serious. Like, what I hate about Kickstarter tech projects is that you want to sell kind of a half-assed version of your product to people who think that Kickstarter is an actual store that's going to sell them a real retail product. Instead, you're basically
very important to make that distinction. Yeah, because I have many a thing that I've purchased on Kickstarter but never seen.
Yes,
it is not a store. You are investing. And that's really what I consider I've just done. I really want to support this idea.
Right, saying that I think you have a great idea. I know it's not going to happen unless people like me come forward, so right. I'm coming forward. Here's right. my money.
We need this.
Please make sure I get at least the T-shirt you promised me.
And what's interesting is that the musicians who are behind this are very excited, obviously. And they do talk about risks and challenges. You'll have to buy your music somewhere else. You can't get it at iTunes. There's a Pomo Music Store. I'm excited about it.
Well designed. You have your own store. You have working with your own hardware.
Who would do that? Oh, wait. Well, I wish Apple had, but they made a consumer product. This is clearly not. Rob Trujillo, thank you, Glenn.
Apple hire time.
That's the most recent guy. I think Jason Newsted or maybe Cliff. You gotta go with Cliff. Hey, we're done. Can't be possible at 1 o'clock already. Alex Lindsay, so nice to see you. Have fun in Rwanda. You want to give us a plug for your new Rwanda thing?
Yeah, it's if you go to rwandaadma.com, there's the
training Rwandans for the digital age.
And so that's the little website that they put together at the school.
That's so. I'm so.
They didn't even tell me this morning. I was like going through searching some stuff, and I found it. So they
had the good taste to use Squarespace.
They did use Squarespace on that, and you see a couple of the photos of our students.
This is such a neat idea.
We're really excited. I really love going down and visiting. So so I'll be down there next week. I'll be on Mac break, but I'll be there. There I am. Anyway, so
you look good in a tie.
Good. Well, you're with the Minister of Education. Dress up a little bit. So anyway, that's nice. But anyway, and they're learning a lot. They're doing an amazing work. They just streamed Miss Geek Rwanda, which is
I want to see that.
It's on YouTube. It's on YouTube. Miss Geek.
Rwanda.
But it was about, Rwandan women. Rwanda does an amazing amount of work in empowering women, specifically. Over half their version of the Congress is women. So that's what we're doing. So check it out. You can search for Miss Geek Rwanda. You'll see it.
Thank you, Alex. Have a great trip to Africa. We'll see you back here soon, I hope.
Yeah, I'm in Africa next week, in London the week after, but I'll be on Mac Break both days.
You got bandwidth in both places.
Yep.
Renee Ritchie, imore.com is the place to go. And, of course, Mobile Nations, lots of great content there. Great, great place to go. And at Renee Ritchie on the Twitter. Thanks, Renee. Good to have you. Of course, Andy Anakos at the Chicago Sun-Times joins us each week for Mac Break Weekly as well. Love the doggy painting.
Yeah, that's another one of those ones that I'm not doing self-aggrandizement. It was an okay picture. The frustrating thing about this app is that that was one of my favorite pictures, and now I think the original picture kind of stinks, and I really prefer
it spoils you.
Version of it.
I'm downloading it. Waterlog. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We do Mac Break Weekly at 11 a.m. Pacific every Tuesday. That's 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 1800 UTC. We did move to summertime on Sunday, so a new time for those of you not in summertime, 1800 UTC. We thank you for joining us. If you can't watch live, though, you can always see it on demand after the fact. Audio and video available at twit.tv/MBW or iTunes or wherever you get your netcast. So thank you for being here. Now, you better get back to work because break time is over. See you later.